Stripe is the go-to choice for AI companies, from early-stage startups to scaled enterprises. 78% of the leading AI companies use Stripe to go to market quickly and scale globally. That includes pioneers like NVIDIA, OpenAI, and Perplexity. Stripe has developed cutting-edge tools to improve everything from fraud detection to checkout optimization. Whether you're aiming for incremental gains or planning for enterprise transformation, see how Stripe can help at stripe.com.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We are here with Ireland Gateway to Europe. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later too. Part of the travelling delegation is Sean Gallagher, a man who hardly needs an introduction, the businessman and the entrepreneur. Sean, how are you?
Delighted to be here. It's just great to be in the US amidst everything that's happening at a pivotal time in Ireland's economic future.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about your sense of what is happening and how kind of fundamental the changes we're living through.
Well, I think obviously change for everybody is traumatic, and I think most of all it's the uncertainty. Businesses like certainty to be able to plan your investment, to be able to plan your market entry or growth. And I think that's the greatest concern, because we're finding that people in uncertainty slow down the decision making. They're unsure in which direction to go, whether they should invest. And then the need to obviously then look if certain markets are being closed off or are being made less attractive because of tariffs, they need to open up new markets. That takes planning, takes time, takes headspace, and takes significant investment. But I think we need to look at it. I'm optimistic by nature, as most entrepreneurs are, so we have to see where are the opportunities here. And this trip has been great because we started it in Canada. And again, we're seeing a great Irish connection there, as we have in the US. And I think there are opportunities to look at new markets. And perhaps it's a wake-up call for us not to be over-dependent on any particular market. And maybe it's time that we were outward-looking and more forward-focused to open up new markets. So I think that could be an opportunity for us as well.
How similar or otherwise do you find the experience of tapping into the Canadian market compared to the US? Because a lot of Irish businesses and entrepreneurs like yourself would have got used to that well-worn path, and from Dublin to Washington, as it were. How similar is it, Dublin to Ottawa?
Well, it's interesting. Before I became an entrepreneur, I worked for economic agencies. And in 1998, working for the Enterprise Board, as it was back then, the LEO, or Local Enterprise Office, as it's known now, in Louth. And we led the first trade mission out of Ireland, which was Louth and Newry and Mourne, the first cross-border trade mission. And we came to none other than Canada. And we came to a small town called Sault Ste. Marie on the lakes. And what was interesting at the time, the Canadian ambassador to Ireland was a guy called Ron Irwin, the local MP, whose parents came from Cavan. And so there was a very deep connection, the Irish in Canada. When I was in Louth too, and many people who would visit Carlingford would see the statue of Thomas Darcy McGee from Carlingford, who was the guy who led much of the Confederation of Canada. And so it's going back to that far back. I was reading on this trip, 1816, there was a colony set up called the Cavan Monaghan Township, which still exists. So we go back that far, and we were looking yesterday at the famine memorial, where, you know, thousands of people came by ships, settled in Toronto and throughout Canada, you know, building mining, building the roads. Like here in the US, being involved in politics and in religion and in business. And I think the only thing that's different is that just the volume of the Irish-American relationship has dominated. But I think now as we see a 40 million population in Canada, same law, same, you know, sort of mentality, and I think we can use that as a bridge. I don't think we need to move away from the American opportunity. I think it's just broadening out our perspective.
And the kind of tumult that we've gotten used to over the last 100 days as well with Donald Trump and the imposition of tariffs, I guess we're all trying to second guess what comes next, and it's a difficult thing to do with Donald Trump. But maybe, and this is possibly a triumph of hope over expectation, maybe there's a feeling he's going to slowly kind of reverse out of the tariffs, given the, you know, the bond markets that day when they began to spiral a little bit. That certainly seemed to have spooked him and those around him. I mean, you describe it. You're an optimist. I know you're an optimist. So is that what you think is going to happen?
Yeah. So I look at this. When the tariffs were announced first, I said to my colleagues, I said, watch what's going to happen. He's going to roll back in these. These are going to either be delayed, reduced, or abolished entirely. And people said, why? And I said, because we're making a mistake here in politics and in government everywhere. People are dealing with Donald Trump as if he's a politician. He doesn't talk like a politician. He doesn't think like a politician. And he doesn't behave like a politician. Because at his core, in his DNA, he is not a politician. And we saw when he was dealing with Mark, the Prime Minister of Canada, in his discussions, Mark Carney, he talked about being a real estate guy.
Yeah.
And so that is how he deals. And so what these tariffs, I think, are about is it's like when you're playing football and somebody who's stronger than you wants to exercise their prowess, to give you an elbow in the ribs to wake you up and to show who's boss. I think there's a bit of that posturing. I think what he's doing is, we're going to put down these tariffs. I'm going to show who's powerful here as a nation. And he is playing not to the Irish constituents. He's playing to his constituents who elected him. He wants to make America more successful. He wants to take down the debt. He wants to create jobs. And he wants to bring manufacturing back to the US. So what he's doing in laying down these tariffs, I believe, is deal making. And what he will do is he will say, now that I've laid out the marker for you, please come and negotiate with me. And he will then, in the next months ahead, he will be able to say that he has negotiated concessions from various countries. And in months to come, there will be no talk about tariffs, but more about the concessions that he has negotiated on behalf of the people that elected him. This is what deal-making is about for him.
Yeah, and then in that regard, I guess the cute thing to do, and it might stick in some people's craw, is to recognise you've got to give him the win. You know, you've got to give him something that allows him to present it, to present himself as the winner to his people.
All good transactions, as you'll know, in business particularly, it's got to be a win-win. And you've got to compromise and you've got to go, OK, well maybe. And in the Irish context, we have been very successful with FDI. And if you were in America and looking at the fact of the corporate tax take that we have, Americans might well and justifiably say, well, perhaps some of that should now come back to America, who is struggling. And maybe, you know, we want to be stronger on our supply chain, on our manufacturing base. And it's hard. I think you have to... I think in dealing with anybody, in terms of... This is not so much about politics as about... and I would be reading the Art of War by Sun Tzu.
When you not go, the Art of the Deal, no.
Not the Art of the Deal. Do the Art of the Deal and then the Art of War by Sun Tzu. When you go into battle with your opponent, you first have to know yourself, but secondly, you have to know your opponent. And he wants to do deals. And the only way to keep him on side, and, you know, perhaps he has an ego. Who doesn't have an ego? But he wants to do a deal. And he has to justify to the electorate who have elected him that they can trust in him to put the one thing that he's strong on is to put the economy right.
One wonders as well about what impact a Trump presidency has on Europe. And there's lots of different fronts to that or aspects of that conversation. We could talk about security and defence or the economy. What I wanted to ask you about, though, was the atmosphere or the environment for entrepreneurship. Because what struck me, what struck a lot of people, was on the inauguration day, was you the leaders of all the big tech companies, the tech bros, as they're called, all big US companies by and large, you know, and there's a sense that it's still a friendlier place for an entrepreneur. And I wonder, do you think that is true? And if it is, how does Europe change the ecosystem to become more entrepreneur friendly?
I think that's great. And I've spent the last 30 years either coaching, training entrepreneurs or writing for the Sun Independent, promoting entrepreneurs, Dragon's Den, promoting entrepreneurship. We're doing a lot of more work in schools now, trying to encourage young people. I think what we need to do, and I think this could be, if we were to look at the upside of this challenge, is we have had a very strong reliance on foreign direct investment in Ireland, and it's been a tremendous success. And we, the likes of the IDA and others have played a tremendous role. However, I think most of us would say that we have become over-reliant on FDI. And the only way, I think, to have a balanced regional and balanced mature economic society is to have the growth of SMEs, more startups. And I think we need to have those all across Ireland, because you're not going to have Intels and Facebooks and Microsofts located all across Ireland. We need small and medium-sized enterprises. And when we think about it, we're looking at the fact that, you know, more than 90% of all companies in Ireland employ less than 10 people. 98% of most countries, developed countries, 98% of the companies are less than 250 people. So for a country like Ireland, we need to seed more and more entrepreneurs. We need young people to look at it. That's why I think we need more examples. Young people particularly cannot be what they cannot see. We need more role models out there. Like the Collisons and like others who have gone and grown a company in Ireland, but also grown it abroad. And I think, too, I mean, one of the best bits of advice I got from Martin Nocton, as it happened many years ago when we started our company, Smart Homes, back in 2000, was that no one ever starts a big company. And so I was in awe of him at the time. We had just launched Smart Homes, and I said, well, Martin, you've got 10,000 employees in Glendimpex globally across the world. I said, we're heading towards 70. I'm just in awe of how you've achieved it. And that was his word. He said, we started with six of us. Nobody ever starts a big company. And when you think of Zuckerberg, who started Facebook, he started that in his dorm. If you think of Steve Jobs, he started that in, as the Americans would say, his garage. And so we need to seed more companies, and they need to be all across different sectors. And therefore, I think we need to, from the early stages, and what I would say, this has to be not like what we do a lot in Ireland, which is a reactive response to things. I think we need to take a 20 to 30 year vision of what Ireland could become, and then create the educational platforms, create the infrastructure, and create the policies that then breed a whole generation of global entrepreneurs. We see them when we get off the plane here in the US and in Canada. What the Irish have achieved in America. So we have the innovation, we have the creativity, we have the people skills, and we have the work ethic. And what we need to do now is see, can we grow more of these, and instead of have them export our people, let's export our businesses.
Do you enjoy that aspect of, I guess, where you find yourself now in terms of your career journey, the mentorship, the advice giving?
I do. I think most of my family were teachers. So I think in my essence, there's a teacher. Mm-hmm. But I think all of us and every entrepreneur that I know, we're only more than willing to help encourage others. We're all students. We're all teachers. And it's interesting that I came here in 1998 to the US with a trade mission again of Irish companies north and south from the border region. And it was on one such trade mission that I came across with a colleague, Derek Roddy, the concept of home technology. And I went home knowing that the Irish market and European markets follow the US markets, particularly regarding technology. And we had just bought homes that had no infrastructure for internet or, what was coming down the lines in terms of technology. And so we launched Smart Homes back in 1999, 2000, off the back of what we saw here. And so I'm a great believer in getting out of your own parish, getting over to see what else is there, and then growing and new ideas. But I think what we need now is a culture of more entrepreneurship, more risk-taking. We need to change our attitude towards failure. And I think we need to not only invest in startups, but we need to build an infrastructure and a scaffold around them in terms of encouraging, mentoring, and supporting them to give them the confidence to grow. Many entrepreneurs get stuck in the operational phase of a business, but I think if you can bring that international experience to the growth of Irish entrepreneurs, as I know Enterprise Ireland are now doing tremendously well, and we have a great team here in the US and in Canada, to help those Irish companies who do great work to bring our products and services abroad to the international market. And perhaps this adjustment of the challenges that we're now facing might actually be the wake-up call for us to drive more aggressively and more strategically in that direction.
Well, listen, it's a hugely optimistic view. And listen, we've enough kind of popes and presidents, and I know you doubt you want to speculate on who's going to be president. We'll be talking about that later in the year. But is there advice you'd give anyone who is running? Mentorship.
Yeah, you need balls of steel and patience of the Pope.
Sean, thanks a million.
You're very welcome.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.